Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, it feels like forever since we first watched the reveal of the PS5 live, and what a phenomenal time that was, to be honest. But watching all that stuff unfold kind of made me think of a variety of conversations around what the hell's going to happen with the consoles with the rest for the rest of 2020. So we're just going to talk about what in the living hell Microsoft can do in response to what was one of the best console reveals in gaming history. I think we sort of came together before we started recording and talked about some potential umbrella topics, and we can just dive into them. So the first thing is just that they need to announce some first party games like ASAP, like yesterday. Where are you on their sort of general approach to putting their library together? Because right now it feels like they don't have anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've gone on record and said that across the first few years they're going to try not to have Xbox Series X, you know, console exclusives. They're obviously going to have, you know, Microsoft and Xbox exclusives, but they're trying to keep the synergy between the Xbox One and the new generation quite as smooth as possible. So we're going to see the likes of, you know, Halo Infinite be cross-platform, stuff like that, which obviously, you know, Sony has come out and said they're not doing that. They're looking at this as a proper generational leap. They're going to have PlayStation 5 exclusive games. And yes, I still want to see what Microsoft has been working on, because that's by far the weakest element of their past 7 year, you know, enterprise has been getting games on the Microsoft machines. You know, they haven't had much. I really enjoyed Gears 5, I really enjoyed Cuphead, but you know, compared to Sony, who has made their bread and butter on selling consoles via these, you know, lavish, well-received exclusive blockbusters, it's not quite the same. But it's not like Microsoft hasn't been planning to get back in the game when it comes to this. They've bought a lot of studios. They've started a lot of studios. Like when I was, we were talking about this and I was looking through the amount of studios they owned, and they own so many first party development teams. And a lot of them are of ridiculously high quality, and a lot of them are fan loved. So for me, what I think Microsoft needs to do out the gate when they do their next reveal or whatever needs to be peeling back the curtain on what the likes of Obsidian are doing, what, you know, Ninja Theory is doing, what the new studios they've started doing. Even if it's just a logo, even if it's just like a quick tease, I think we need confidence that something is coming, because, you know, I don't like when, you know, I don't often like when companies announce things too far in advance and you're just waiting for them forever. But given the track record Microsoft has, I think they could do with showing off at least a little bit from these studios to give us that confidence and, you know, say that, look, these exclusives might not be coming in the first few years, but they will eventually get there and they'll be worth waiting for.
I think on the, one thing I want to address, because I forgot about their whole, you know, for the first 3 or 4 years, there won't be any Xbox Series X, SX. Any Xbox Series X exclusives, XXXXX, and but they have, you know, everything that they're putting out on the SX is going to work on Xbox One, and it's interesting seeing their reaction, because initially that was like, cool, well, I don't even really need to get an Xbox One Series X, because I can just stick to, why do I forget the name? Xbox Series X is the new one, we're leaving this in, and the original one is the Xbox One. It's because I bought an Xbox One X, and then the
don't forget,
Series
the
X,
Xbox
yeah.
SXX tricky as well. That's also one of my favorites.
That is branding waiting to happen, to be honest, and get Triple X back on there while you're on, and BMX Triple X. But anyway, in regards to that whole 3 or 4 year thing where everything that's out on the SX is playable on the One, that is initially it was like, well, I don't really need to get that. But very like Jim Ryan, for you know, Sony's sort of a spokesperson that was leading the PS5 reveal stream, he's been out there in interviews just saying, look, we believe in the next generation, we believe in sort of giving you something that can only be experienced on the PlayStation 5, and they don't really seem that asked or that bothered about the backwards compatibility stuff, to the point where I kind of fully believe them. I initially was like, no, you need to respect legacy, you need to respect the people who got you here in the first place, and I still think that's a massive conversation to have, but them just leading the charge with here's the new shiny stuff really seemed to go over just so well. Where is that just a weird mistake where actually Microsoft have kind of invalidated their own console by making everything that's on SX can just be played on the original Xbox One?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a really tricky situation. You mentioned backwards compatibility there. We've talked about this before, and I remember we very briefly said, you know, when it comes to Sony, are they going to respond to Microsoft and also, you know, market the PlayStation 5 as this legacy machine?
Legacy machine.
PlayStation 1 games, 2 games, 3 games, 4 games, and stuff like that. And they haven't done that, but ultimately, it's not backwards compatibility that sells new consoles. It is the new stuff, you know, for better or worse. It is things that you can only play, or at least you're led to believe you can only play on like the next gen machines. It's great to have backwards compatibility, and it's a huge thing from a consumer standpoint to have that security going forward, that all your games will play on the next machine. But at the same time, it's not something fundamentally, I don't think, that shifts consoles in the way a proper killer app would, or something to get excited about for the future. Like, I do think it's the right move, and I give Microsoft so much props for, you know, making Games Pass, making the Xbox One backwards compatible years down the line, when common convention would usually have that backwards compatibility being taken away at that point, you know, and they're going to kick Sony up the ass and make them hopefully include something similar on their machine. But I don't think you can put that at the forefront of a new generation, especially in a generation where a lot of things are already going to be playable, like you said, on the Xbox One. You need to give people a reason, at least in my eyes, to buy that new machine, because otherwise people are just going to be like, well, I can play these games on the Xbox One, and then in 2 years' time, when the price goes down, I can pick an X up then.
Because that's the whole thing with, you know, presenting sort of new franchises and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you can lean on, you know, established IP, and we've seen the whole wave of remakes and remasters and revisiting stuff, and you know, that's fine. I think I kind of get swept up in that sometimes, where I'm like, oh, you know, the new Legacy of Kain can come back, or I can play Legacy of Kain again, or something like that. But yeah, the PS5 reveal was just such an eye opener in terms of like, you know what, I care so much more about the next Horizon, or you know, the next Spider-Man, or all these things that are going forward. And then when I think about, you know, when those franchises came on the map, like Horizon's 2017, Spider-Man 2018, even God of War, like, I mean, obviously Spider-Man has had other titles, and God of War is like this reboot, but there's forward momentum there that I don't think is in, obviously you're just not going to get from revisiting something from the past, even though it's a great idea to put an old disc in and have it automatically up-res to 4K and all that kind of stuff. Like, I love that as an idea, but the more they sort of lean on that, and the less you have to supplant it with, you know, new titles, I just think that's going to be one of their biggest issues, in terms of they just need to get out ahead of it before they become known as the backwards compatibility machine.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of sucks, man, because we can sit here and we can say, you know, Microsoft need to do this. But at the same time, they're kind of winning on their own terms at the moment. You know, like, they've done all of these steps to make this synergy between all of the Xbox platforms and brands as smooth as possible. And we're seeing them diversify in a way that Sony aren't. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, for the longest time, it was these two giants head-to-head. They were fighting over the same turf, essentially. Mm-hmm. And over the past 7 years, Phil Spencer, in my opinion, has made, like, a really wise decision to go, look, you know what, maybe you can have this pot of land, and we'll go over here, we'll focus on this, we'll win consumers over that way. But like you said, it does need to be balanced, you know what I mean? Like, the reason I go to my Xbox One now is to play old games via Games Pass, but I wouldn't do that if they had exclusive games or new games that were interesting in their own right, you know what I mean? There's a reason I don't play old games on, you know, PlayStation Now or anything like that. I mean, the service isn't as good, but I'm not revisiting games I haven't played, you know, PlayStation 4 games I haven't played. I'm not downloading them and stuff, because I've got new experiences like God of War, like Spider-Man, like you said, whereas when I turn my Xbox on, it is very much kind of, you know, rooted in that past. And it's a smart business decision to have that, but not to only have that, I think, is the point we're trying to make.
Yeah, and that was the thing that Spencer was getting out there and addressing back when Google Stadia was still a blip on the potential horizon. Was, you know, he was saying that, look, our competitors are potentially Google and potentially Amazon, and that just that spoke to a weird sort of level of like 4D chess that I don't think anyone else is. If that's the game he's playing, then they're playing in a completely different field. And I get the whole, you know, if you can be the Netflix for games, then that's obviously like a huge thing too. But it's just it's a weird way to pivot, and I think that that's one of the most fascinating conversations that's emerging now is that Sony have only doubled down on their own stuff, their own IP. They've got the whole PlayStation Worldwide Studios thing going, and they're going with forward momentum. You know, people care about the future, and if you want the old stuff, then that's PlayStation Now, or that's this like optional thing on the side. Like, they didn't even address backwards compatibility in the reveal whatsoever, even though there is a patent, there has been a patent filed that would let you play those old games. Whereas Microsoft, it's, you know, they're putting little console demos out and showing you, hey, if you put the original Gears of War in an SX, it'll up-res it and things like that. That's going to be one of the most interesting things to see play out. But in terms of like specific IP stuff, I wrote down because I was thinking of like how many can you even name of like new Xbox exclusive franchises that came about in the last 7 years? Like, there's so little. It's like Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Ones that stayed on Xbox consoles as well, because Cuphead went over to Switch, Ori and the Blind Forest went over to Switch. So it's one of those things where like, if you were gonna hold up, what is their new roster, you know, next to Horizon, Spider-Man, God of War? Well, actually, you can discount God of War because it's an older one. Spidey at least is like a new take, and you know, Horizon's a new IP. But yeah,
even then, though, like I think actually God of War is like a really great case study because yeah, that is like an older franchise, and yet Sony managed to kind of like reboot it in such a modern way that made it perhaps more relevant than it ever was. You know what I mean? Like, if you told me at the start of the generation that like God of War, the next God of War, was going to be one of the next big games, I would have said you were being a silly person, because at that time, it felt like that franchise had run its course. And I think in games, more than any other medium, you can see these kind of like comeback stories happening, because the advancements in technology, the wildly different genres, the wildly different takes you can have on a game are almost infinite. And yet, Microsoft kind of aren't taking that same kind of creative approach to their titles. They're still very much relying on Gears and Halo, which, you know, I still like. I really, like I said at the beginning, I actually love Gears 5. It's one of my favorite exclusives of the generation. We saw some kind of forward momentum with that. But some of the older titles that they have, they kind of just seem to be, you know, chugging along, putting more out without giving them the proper kick that they need in the way that Sony has done with a lot of their kind of aging franchises, managed to make them relevant alongside the new stuff. So going forward, I'm not sure whether I want to see, you know, these aging franchises from Microsoft entirely go away, but they just can't be the only thing that they rely on to sell consoles anymore.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Yeah, that's the thing. They need to kind of one of the things that I think they'll be bandying about is how much do they rely on the legacy of Xbox? Like, you have Master Chief and you have Marcus Fenix or Gears of War, the branding in general. And how much do you sort of hold that up? Because you see on, you know, on Sony's side, like I said, they have like Aloy and Kratos and all these sort of like, you know, like Nathan Drake, these head turning iconic characters. That although we're not in the age of mascots anymore, they're still associated with the platform immediately. And obviously Nintendo has, you know, Link and Mario, and like, that stuff is all right there. And Microsoft have kind of always struggled with that. Like, I remember watching a highlight reel a good few years ago, would have been back at the start of the 2010s, and they put like Bionic Commando in one of their opening sizzle reels. And I was like, just because it's something came out at the time and you had it on 360 or whatever in like 2012 or something, it was just like, oh yeah, we're going to kind of put him alongside the Xbox branding. And it was just, I think they've always kind of struggled with like, who, you know, do they fall into that mascot like legacy side, or do they try and do a bit of everything? They don't want to just be, you know, the Xbox platform. They want to be the Netflix. They want to be a bit of everything. I think that's something that they've kind of struggled with. And that's the thing. Do they just hold on to Master Chief and Marcus Fenix, or I guess it would be Kat now from Gears 5, and try and sort of lean into that? Or do they do something else? For me, like, I think Halo is just done. Like, I think they'd be better off just moving away from Halo. That thing hasn't had a positive reputation around it, a positive aura around a release of a new Halo since, like, Halo Reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think Halo in particular needs, like, you know, transforming in a way, which might sound like blasphemous because a lot of people like just the how familiar Halo is and how kind of like not standard it is, but how you know what you're getting. And I think we might have moved beyond that. I think this generation has kind of proven that we've moved beyond that. For I liked Halo 4 and Halo 5, you know, despite the controversy, played decently. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, it just felt like more Halo in a way that God of War didn't feel like God of War. And I think, for me, genuinely, I think Fable, the new Fable that's been rumored for years by Playground Games, who Microsoft has just bought, I think that's going to be kind of like the real litmus test going forward of how they're going to treat these Asian franchises. Because everything about this sounds like what I want them to do with their IP going forward. Like, they've got a new developer who hasn't really tried this before, who's, you know, obviously very talented. They've got a lot of creative energy. They're going to take some risks. If the rumors are to be believed, they're going to kind of have a fresh slate, but in a way that's, you know, still has a lot of reverence for the franchise. Hopefully, obviously we haven't seen it. And I want them to do that really well and to be able to kind of transform it away, update it in a way, make it feel like a next-gen game and make it feel fresh again. Because, you know, like you said, Microsoft don't have that many mascots, but I would say, you know, you see Fable, you think of an Xbox or something.
Yeah.
And if you can update it in that way, and if Fable, the next Fable, does well, I think that's kind of setting a good precedent for how they're going to handle their, you know, franchises and series going forward.
The thing that I'm assuming with Fable is that if all the rumors are true and it's the biggest one yet, and like you said, Playground are a former driving game dev, so it's interesting to see what the hell they're going to do with a completely different genre. But if Fable is as big as this, a lot of the rumors sort of point to, that can be their own, you know, first party Skyrim. Like, that would be brilliant and a really good get. It's just weird with something like Halo because you have this like change in the devs. And one of the biggest problems Microsoft had, I think, is like renaming a lot of their first party teams so that they tied in with certain franchises. Like, you had the Coalition working on Gears, you had 343 Studios working on Halo. And it sort of bolted those people down. Whereas I've always been a big proponent of just taking one of those devs and just doing a trailer that just says, from the people that brought you Halo, from the people that brought you XYZ, and doing the next thing. It's just, I think this generation, they, like, so many big companies double down on safe bets rather than moving forward, and that stands out so much.
No, you make a great point with like 343, the Coalition, especially because I've liked what they've done, but it's a very conscious decision on Microsoft's part to tie them.
You are doing this
with one franchise. Yeah, it's like literally said, like, you're doing this. give us these games. And I think that is, you know, whether or not it's intentionally like a mandate, it feels inherently limiting. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We have to kind of, it's almost like they've been given a role that they're kind of trying to perform, if that makes sense. It's we need to give people Halo. We need to give them the Halo that they want, or like the Halo that we think they want. They're always kind of like living up. It doesn't help that they've come after, you know, like Epic and Bungie, trying to live up to someone else's idea of what these games should be, rather than putting their own stamp on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and even like in God of War's case, like you said, you know, you've got like Corey Barlog, you've got him coming across from God of War 2 and 3 and putting his sort of like different twist on it, whereas with Gears, Cliff Bleszinski is long gone. And in Halo's case, you know, Bungie are long gone. So none of those original, even the individual team members never stayed over. So, you know, it just doesn't, for me, it's a different sort of conversation, but that idea of like authority and trusting, you know, where does an IP end up and is it valid and things like that in the eyes of the fans? I don't think Halo ever managed to overcome that. Like Bungie was always so tied to Halo that they never managed to make the transition, and Gears still feels like it has some life in it, but just because Kat's story is like inherently interesting and answers some questions from the original trilogy, but at the same time, like, I just think part of me thinks that if Microsoft just says we respect the history of, you know, we've done all these franchises in the past and we're going to do one more and then we're going to make a conscious effort to move on, I think most people would be like, oh my god, finally. It'd be like the Simpsons ending. It's just sort of just let it be done and let us move on.
Well, again, you know, like we've been compared to Sony a lot, but that's the aim of the game in this podcast. But yeah, when it comes to kind of like their first party studios, there have been, you know, teams that have only worked on one thing for a long time. You know, Naughty Dog worked on Uncharted for a long time. Guerrilla Games worked on Killzone for a long time. Sucker Punch worked on Infamous for a long time, but then they were allowed to move on. They were allowed to try something else. And then some of them came back, you know, like for Uncharted 4 after The Last of Us, and use what they'd learned to make that game different and more interesting, and some of them have just jumped to something bigger and better entirely, which is what I'd argue Guerrilla has done with Horizon.
Hell yeah.
Potentially what Sucker Punch is going to do with Ghost of Tsushima, but it's like they have these franchises, but they aren't afraid to let them at least rest for a little bit and allow the team to try something new, whereas, you know, Microsoft seem to be doing the exact opposite, where it's like, you're the Halo guys, give us some Halo. You're the Gears guys, give us some Gears.
And then does it just look weird if a team named after a specific franchise then are allowed to do something else? I think that's just a weird internal thing that, like I said, it's kind of become limiting over time. It was almost like when those things first happened, it was like, well, of course we're going to want more Gears. Of course we're going to want more Halo. But then as those games have trickled out and something like Halo 5's ending, or the Halo 5 story overall was such a weird mess. And like, you know, Gears 5, it does feel like a breath of fresh air, even though I don't really like all the open world stuff. At least there's some new ideas there. There's maybe like some way you can go, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I will say, you know, I feel like this was more of a problem a few years ago when these were like the only teams that Microsoft was setting up and the only kind of first-party studios they had under their belt, and they were all named after these franchises. But I do think with the acquisitions that were made in 2018 and 2019, you know, with the likes of Double Fine, Obsidian, In Exile, Playground Games, you know, stuff like that, I feel like if you look at the slate of talent they have, yeah, they've got a few, you know, franchise-specific developers, but hopefully, fingers crossed, and this is why I want to see anything from these studios, these new acquisitions will give us something interesting and something new and something kind of more creative than what we expect from the core Xbox brands. But so far, we've only got the announcement that they own these studios, not what they're actually working on.
Well, a really good point mentioning the studios. We have like a list written down. Like, yeah, you've mentioned like Playground and stuff like that. That like, I mean, they bought like Ninja Theory. Like Hellblade's going to be an Xbox character, and already I would kind of argue that Senua has already become quite iconic and recognizable. Like the reaction to Hellblade 2 was immediately, everyone knew what that was almost straight away. And even stuff like Undead Labs. It's like if you line all those things up and you think about like a console launch slate or that first couple of years slate, then you have a zombie game from Undead Labs, you have this sort of third-person action thing with Hellblade 2. Obsidian can do an RPG, or you can get like the Playground could do this big open-ended Fable. Like it feels like they're playing to unleash this sort of slate of really awesome first-party exclusives, but I guess like time will tell. It's just the PS5 absolutely dominated the other night, and I think that it's got a lot of people, there's so many memes already of just like the Xbox being dead.
Yeah, it's just funny, man, because, like, obviously, you know, Sony kept the cards close to their chest for so long. We were all getting a bit annoyed. We were like, oh, Sony, show us something. Show us the console. Stop just giving us Mark Cerny talking for 50 minutes. We need to see something. But then, in a way, I think that weight made it feel like a proper event. You know, for the long time by Microsoft, we've been drip-fed information. They gave us a look at the console last year, then they gave us a look at the games, and they've been announcing things in between. There hasn't been that one moment where it feels like they've kind of made themselves properly present in the same way that Sony did. And that's just like an optics thing. That doesn't necessarily mean one is better than the other. But in terms of marketing and impact, it feels like kind of making one or two grand statements and being like, look, this is what we've got, these are the games, this is the console. Doing that like a couple of times at big events is at least makes it feel like a bigger thing than just dropping the news story here and there. Even if the news stories themselves, you know, are quite good, it's very much a marketing issue that more than the quality of the news itself.
Yeah, I think I'm super curious what people think. Like, what's your general perception of the Xbox brand right now? Are you looking forward to the SX, or does it feel like the PS5 has already ran away with the next generation? Let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching the video side, or use the hashtag WCGP. You can leave us different thoughts and questions, whatever you like, over on Twitter, and we will get to them in the future. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
And goodbye, Scott.
We'll catch you next time.
Bye. See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.